Hello there, listener, and thank you for inviting us into your headspace. You are listening to episode 21 of Crosshairs Radio. This is our Cyclocross World Championship preview. In the basement with me for this episode, I have Taylor Jones and Kevin Hayes on the phone. We talked to Tim Johnson and Dan Chabanoff. Also checking in from Athens, Georgia is Elliot Caldwell, who is now a remote member of the Basement Tape crew. Lots of stuff to get to, so I'm not going to waste a lot of your time here. You all know what to do. Go rate, review, leave comments at feedback@cxhairs.com. Go buy stuff at the shop and just follow along. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know what we got wrong. And let's do it. World's Preview, episode 21. Sweet. Long sleeves for the winter are good.
I know, right?
They are good. I like my thrift store cardigan.
All right, should we start?
Yeah, let's get going.
Okay. This is Crosshairs Radio, episode 21. We are back in the basement. This is Basement Tapes. What is this, number three?
Number three.
Basement Tapes, yeah. Number three, here with Taylor Jones and Kevin Hayes. We lost our other Basement Tape member to Athens, Georgia, Elliot Caldwell. He may be calling in later on via Skype. We also have a couple other special guests for you on this episode. This is going to be our Cyclocross World Championship picks episode. That's what we're doing.
Is that what we're calling it?
That's what we're calling it.
All right.
So it is, what day is it now? We are recording this on a Wednesday. And
yeah, it's hard to say because here in DC we haven't left home, gone to work.
It's true. We've been
ages, it seems like.
Been snowed in DC. Yeah, so Wednesday before the World Championships, which happens this weekend with the women's elite, and what else? What other race is happening Saturday? Is it the U23 women? Is it all women on Saturday and all men on Sunday? Yep,
that's the one.
Junior men, women's U23, and women's elite are all on Saturday, and then your men's U23, men's elite on Sunday. That's how it goes. So, find your illegal, quasi-legal UCI feeds on those days. Our plan, and you know, who knows if this happens, if you happen to listen to this before the World Championships, our plan is to try to do an alternate or alternative? Both?
Alt.
An alt broadcast, commentary broadcast, where we will be recording audio. And we'll try to get links out to that for the men's and women's races to go along with your stream. So we'll be doing like our little radio broadcast in the background that you can tune into while you watch the pictures on your computer screen or other device. Yeah. All right.
Should be a good time. It's either going to be great or it's going to be a beautiful disaster.
It should be one of those two things.
Best absolutely. English commentary on the internet.
I am not even getting into that. It's a hard job.
Best American English commentary.
There you go. Best American English commentary. It is calling races is a hard job, especially by yourself. Let's start with where should we start?
Want to talk about the course a little bit?
That's a good place to start.
Well, the course, Zolder, Belgium.
Zolder.
We've been there.
What's the whole name of it? It's
Huis en Zolder.
That's right.
Yeah. And we were already there once in December, I believe. It was the
Round five of the World Cup
won by Matthew Vanderpoel.
I'm about to say Matthew Vanderpoel.
Who has won the last four World Cups. So definitely coming into World Championships on a roll.
So, I mean, do you think that it's, and maybe this is jumping ahead a little from the course, but, you know, I think that his injury and subsequent surgeries could have actually been a good thing.
Because, oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think we should talk about that later on. Absolutely.
He wasn't in Vegas in September. You know, he hasn't done a full season. He's come into it a lot later, so he's fresher.
It's the Marianne Vos, you know, Pauline Ferrand-Prevot, yeah. Zdenek Stibar, mode of winning a world championship.
Getting injured at the beginning of the season?
Or just not racing then coming in late and being fresh.
That's a better explanation behind it.
Yeah. Although Voss was always injured and then would come back and win the world.
Do you think she'll ever come back?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Okay.
We'll see.
Back to the course.
The course. It is, I think it's a, it's a power course.
I agree. Definitely a power course.
It may be sloppy.
They're calling for rain both days, I think. So.
Yeah, so that it's going to be a completely different race than what we saw in December. It's the kind of race that somebody like Lars Vanderhaar does really well on. You know,
in years past, Lars Boom.
And Lars Boom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's an interesting one. I think it is a course that, yeah, definitely if you have power, that's going to be the main key. A lot of good descents, couple climbs in there, running, not really, you know, one tricky climb on the bike as well, and then like a mile and a half of flyovers.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And it has that one-off camber that has the two lines right by that concrete wall there. You've mentioned it on the Svennis videos.
Yeah, that was the first Svennis video ever.
That's the coolest line ever, because just watching, you know, everyone take one line or the other, and you always come out right around the same area no matter which line you take, and just back and forth no matter what.
Yeah, and it's coming up, it's running, it's getting off the bike. There's so many ways to take that corner, and it really does set you up for the finish of the course. You know,
I think that's going to be an interesting spot if it's particularly sloppy.
Yeah,
because you might see, I mean, it might go from two lines to one line, because if it's bad enough that people are having to run,
mm-hmm.
you know,
maybe
the low line is the better and the high line is not really that great. So
again, if it is wet, you come off of that and you do a long straight and then you drop down this really
steep drop
with a sharp left-hand turn at the bottom of it that, you know, they have the bouncy castle barriers up there to catch people who come in there a little hot. And that really could be...
I think it's also the fact that you've already had a race on that same course like a month and a half ago, I think certainly plays a factor, because... And that spot in particular has tendency to get rutted out.
Yeah.
With one, you know, really deep rutted line. And if you've already had had a race run through there not that long ago, that's only going to exacerbate things like that around the course.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the fact that they're having two races on what I presume is the exact same course? I mean, is this good that, you know, second, you know, World Cup race and the World Champs is all on the exact same course?
It's a good question. It's something I thought about.
But even you figure how many times has Worlds been at Coxsida?
Right.
Yeah, I suppose. It just seems like, oh, you know, they just raced this course, you know, earlier in the year. Now they're racing again.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just...
Stakes are higher, I guess.
I mean, I guess everyone...
But if you look, I mean, there are plenty of... Maybe not plenty, but I mean, there were definitely... There are people who will be racing this weekend who did not race the World Cup.
This is true.
So, I mean, the dynamic is a little bit different. People's fitness levels are different. People's priorities are different at this point.
I'm going to call somebody here who's actually raced on this course. You guys keep talking.
But, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, you think about it because, you know, what's the novelty of a course that people have never raced on before versus one they saw 6 weeks ago?
Right. And you almost wonder when, you know, you're coming into it that, I mean, at this point, everyone's kind of talking and everyone assumes the same people are going to win the podium in the same race. So I don't know if that will really be the case, but we'll see.
Yeah. Be interesting, see how it pans out.
Do you guys know what this course actually is, like the venue itself? It's a racetrack.
Yeah.
It's an auto racetrack, but not only that, they actually hold BMX races there as well. Yeah. It's like the one and all like racetrack for Belgium. It's great.
Yeah. You know who else has won a world championship there?
Who else?
Mario Cipollini.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. When he won Road Worlds.
Oh, that was there as well, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, race finished there.
Interesting.
The course that was... basically purpose made for him to win a world.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
We've got all kinds of noises going on over here.
It's just the fish tank.
You wonder if they could, you know, find a way to route the course to use some of the BMX track.
Yeah, I kind of wonder. I was trying to look up on the website of the venue itself where everything sits.
Hey, Tim.
Hi,
Tim.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Tim.
All right. You did make it. Yeah, we were talking about the course. We figured we'd get somebody who actually had raced on the course before.
That would be helpful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose.
When was the last time that you raced as Zolder?
The last time I raced as Zolder was, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Do
you know if the course has changed at all this year from then and even from December?
Yeah, so I know that the course that they raced on in December was kind of a throwback to what we did back in 2002 O Worlds. And we raced there before as well, but I know that one of the sections that you saw a lot of action on was the run up followed by the really steep uphill. Remember just watching barely 50 RPM kind of creeping up this short steep section.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That was new this December compared to what we did in the typical World Cups the last 5 years.
Okay. So we are trying to figure out who's going to win this thing.
Well, that's easy. Well, all you have to do is wait until Sunday afternoon and Zolder and you'll know.
But we're gonna, yeah.
No, that's too easy.
Yeah. But so let's start with the easy one. Let's start with the men's elite.
Oh boy. You're asking me for my pick now?
I want to know who you think is going to win, and then I think maybe who your dark horse is, who you're looking at, who might you know, surprise everyone.
I really like Vanderpool for the win. The way that he's come back from his injury, the way that he's really barely missed a beat, considering how much of the biggest part of the season that he missed, all that racing, all that training. And how he's been winning he hasn't been winning by luck. He hasn't been winning by chance. He hasn't been winning by, you know, technical aptitude. He's been winning because he's literally just crushing everybody. And he's even crushing Wout van Aert. So that's, you know, that's saying something. And Wout has not had any issues. He hasn't had any real blips in the radar. So I consider Vanderpool to be far and away my favorite.
Do you think that, we were talking about this a second ago, do you think getting injured and having all that time off is now paying dividends for him this late in the season? Is he fresher than where Van Aert's been racing since September in Cross Vegas?
You know, I hear that a lot, and I can kind of understand it, but I don't believe in it, because, you know, if he's thinking about trying to win Worlds, he was thinking this last year, obviously, you know, having won in Tabor. So he didn't exactly make his season against that possibility happening again. So there's no way, you know, there's no way to think that he hasn't been planning on this. You know, I feel like if Wout has wanted to win Worlds, he's also planned on having his season go this direction. So he's going to show up to the start line really the best possibility that he can. So I think both of them are really going to be lining up about the same.
Do you think that he took it easy at Hoegerheide?
No. No. I mean, looking at that, you know, it's funny. You can imagine that he probably was easier in getting pushed into that fight just for the World Cup instead of the win, you know, because Vanderpool wasn't really going to factor into that overall.
Right.
So that might have made it easier to say, you know, the off camber uphill section around the tree that you see kind of halfway through the lap. It was where everyone was kind of doing like this pedaling skid uphill.
Yep.
Do you remember that?
Yep.
That's a really tough section, and it takes so much mental fortitude to go through that without getting frustrated and wanting to throw your bike. I mean, it's really such a huge stress point that, yeah, I mean, if you don't show up thinking that you want to win, then it's really easy to give up right there. And in Wu's case, giving up means getting second. You know, it's really different.
Yeah, absolutely. And his main concern, I guess, at that point is just staying in front of Vanderhaar and making sure he secures the World Cup.
Yeah, exactly. It's distracting in the way that he's still going to be the winner of something, but he's going to just let the win go away.
So if not Vanderpool, then who's is do you think Wout's the, I mean, Wout obviously is the guy with the next best chance. How about other than him? Who's another?
So are we basically calling the whole podium here at this point? So who's not first, not second, but who would you call third?
Sure, Kevin.
You know, I think that if there's a course that'll give a little bit more of that possibility, it's going to be Zolder. You know, the soil isn't really that muddy except for a couple sections, so it's going to be more of the pack racing that we saw in December. We haven't had a snowstorm or an ice storm, which we've had in the past. So there's every chance that you can have a group of three or four guys and a rider like Vanderpool will have an issue. And, you know, if Lars Vanderhaar is there and he's going to be in that right position to take advantage of it, then he's going to try. You know, the average speed of that race in years past was upwards of 30K an hour, which is ridiculously fast. I think in December it was still over 27 or 28. I'm not even sure, but it's so fast. If something goes wrong, even if it's small, the gap grows really quick. So, yeah, I don't think that it's a real gimme. But a rider like Lars Vanderhaar, he's the one who's going to take advantage of a mistake
and he's,
of someone else.
And he's had success there in the past. You know, I mean, he beat Stibar, was it just last year, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, on that course. So definitely, he's definitely one to watch. So moving away from the men, I think the more interesting race, because it's a little more wide open, is going to be the women's race, where you have your favorite, Sonia Kant, who has dominated the season, yet in the last month or so has been challenged and has lost some races. So what are your thoughts about Kant, and is there anybody else that's going to put in a better performance on Saturday?
So, you know, I spoke with Stu from Cannondale Cyclocross World earlier today. I spoke to Katie Antoneau, going over her race this weekend. And, you know, I watched the race at Hoogerheide and I saw Sonia Kant that wasn't really that powerful. She was pedaling okay, but she wasn't pedaling with a whole lot of power, which either means that you're tired or you're sick. You know, it was pretty well known that it was a big training block and blah, blah, blah. Like, if Hoogerheide wasn't as muddy as it was, she would have been fine. She would have been able to race among a group and would have been able to kind of fight for it. But because it was so thick, if you have any fatigue in your legs, you're basically screwed from the start. So I think Sonia Kant is going to be flying this weekend, no question. And I feel like she probably had the worst combination of a tough course and tired legs at Hoogerheide.
Right.
You know, Nikki Harris, I think, is going to be a solid bet for someone in that front group. Ellen Van Ooy, she's the one who's like kind of the fast, powerful one, but she doesn't really have a whole lot of range. She kind of has one speed.
Yeah.
So I don't really see her doing much for the win. I think Lechner, if she can pull something together, is going to be a good bet for that podium. But, you know, Katie Compton has to have the race that she is hoping for. You know, she didn't show anything this weekend. You know, she's been riding, she's been training. You know, if she can't find it on the day, then it's another lost chance for a world title.
Right, and it seems like it's a good opportunity. But yeah, ever since she got second in the World Cup and then won nationals, it's sort of been a little bit of a lull after that for her, going back to those World Cups. Doesn't really seem to have whatever it is right now.
Her win at nationals was not a Katie Compton of, you know, a couple years ago or even last year, where she would have just powered away. You know, and little Katie was fighting from a distance. Georgia putting up such a tough fight for her was really you know, Katie having legs that were enough to do it on the day, obviously, because she won. But it wasn't exactly the legs that she might need to fight for a world title. So if she can't have an amazing week, she's not going to have a chance at the jersey this weekend.
Yeah, I think it was interesting seeing Sophie DeBoer up there as well, getting that World Cup win. I think that really probably sets her up well as far as confidence and everything else.
Yeah, I don't think that she has a ton of speed. You know, watching that race, she had a perfect first lap. She had a perfect 15 minutes, which gave her the chance. And then it was really funny to watch the riders behind, because every single one of those riders had mistakes. You know, they all had dabs. They all had sections where they really just weren't pedaling through the corners very well. You know, once she got away, she was able to build on it. I don't think that that's going to be possible in Zolder because of the speed. But, you know, like you say, the confidence is going to be sky high.
So what are you thinking for Katie Antonow?
I think Katie's going to be great if she has a start that's quality, you know, top 10, top 5, because she can stick to someone's wheel like really no one else. So I think that's going to be her bet, is to stay in the fight for as long as she can. So if after 20 minutes she's within spitting distance, then she's got a great shot. After, you know, 30 minutes, it's going to be even better. And that's kind of what happened at a race like Valkenburg. She doesn't have the elevation to work to her advantage, but she's only 24. You know, she has another 10 chances. I mean, that's a pretty scary proposition.
Right, absolutely. Speaking of the women and the younger women, new field this year, the U23 women, what are your thoughts there?
I it's funny to see who's been pulled out of those rankings, you know, which riders are actually being looked at as possibilities for it, and whether or not Sporza would cover it, you know, at the World Cups. You kind of hope that they would. Looking through the list, it's like the Belgian Vinden Driesje.
Yeah, Femke. Or Femke.
Yeah, Femke. Femke. Yeah. She's got a... You know, I haven't seen a race. You know, I haven't seen a 10-second section of a course with her on it. You know, she
did pretty well at Kolpenberg Cross. Didn't she win?
Did she win that one?
Yeah. She rode away from everybody.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, granted, she's a very small rider. She's definitely a climber, which is not really the Zolder course. But, I mean, that was a pretty solid result.
That's huge. Yeah, I mean, Vishuren is another tiny one, but she's got no power when it comes to, you know, trying to get through some thick mud or any kind of difficult section. So Zolder has a little bit of elevation, but like I said, it's all about having that speed. We saw Emma and Ellen just have a great setup when they were over there for the Christmas races. The battle at Nationals didn't quite go the way that I think Emma wanted. Obviously, it went Ellen's way. She was psyched with the win and had a flawless race with how everything went. She's going to have to do the same. You know, she's going to have to really go for it. And I think that one of the benefits to the U.S. riders is that they've been racing like at Nationals on their own. You know, they've got this chance. I mean, Ellen races at the front of the New England races, Emma as well. In Europe, the best under 23 women never get the chance to race without the other women around. So they're never at the front. There's no tactics, really. There's no kind of racecraft. So I think that might be something that would help Ellen in her fight for, you know, trying to get the jersey or at least trying to get on the podium.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Italian woman, Arzufi, probably the other one, she's 13th UCI in the world, so she'd probably up there as well. But yeah, I think, you know, if everything goes right, I think Ellen Noble definitely is in the picture.
I mean, that would be unbelievable. I mean, how awesome would that be to win an inaugural jersey like that? I can remember the first time I went to Crossworlds, I qualified as a junior and a podium, and then afterwards the guy, you know, at the time says, hey, you know, you, by the way, there's a Cyclocross World Championships in January. Do you want to go? And it's like, really? Sure. How do I do it? And I got a call like 2 weeks before the Worlds, just before I'm leaving, you know, to go over there. And he's like, oh, hey, by the way, there's a new category of Worlds. It's called Under 23. So you're going to race that. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? I mean, I was a kid. I was a junior, I thought. And here I was, like, all of a sudden I have to race against guys who are 4 years older than
me. Yeah, right.
You know, a little different story for someone like Ellen, because she's been racing with, you know, the top end of you know, the regional racing in New England, but also the national series getting up there, and the races that she's done across the country. So a little bit different story, but still, to have a chance to first crack at that as a real favorite is something that's really cool.
Moving on to the under 23 men, sort of a couple of interesting stories there. You have your runner-up favorite up for the juniors last year, Eli Easerbeat, who then moves up to U23, even though he's only, well, I mean, his first year in there, he's 20 and has been winning races. You got guys like Quentin Ehrmans. Is Andreasen in this race, or is he still
a junior?
I don't
know that Simon's racing. I had a chance to race with him at the Red Bull Velo Ducks in Switzerland, kind of that the duo cross race, and he was there with his Danish teammate Sebastian. I can think of Instagram handles in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah, real, no, I'm the same way.
Like,
yeah.
Oh God, why am I having a hard time with that?
I thought he was racing based on what he's been.
Yeah, it seemed like he was ramping up for it and was doing some World Cups.
He's a real deal. He is just a superstar. And in watching him race and handle himself, but you know how he's approaching it. I mean, he's just all about trying to go as fast as he possibly can, and to be world mountain bike and cross champ at the same time.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Pretty special. He did win nationals in Denmark. You know, I don't know that that's like really what
right.
he's going for.
Yeah, and I don't know that that's he's probably, if he were to race in the U23s, he's probably up against much better competition there even than he was in the elite men.
I mean, he's on Instagram posting photos of training on Gran Canaria saying Worlds in 2 weeks, can't wait.
Yeah,
there you go. So,
all right,
you might want to enter the race.
Oh no, he's here, he's there. Yeah. There he is.
Oh, you saw him?
Yep, he's on the entry list.
Yeah.
Oh, you found
he's
it
in the
okay.
U23
okay.
race.
Yeah,
awesome. Well, hey, you know what?
So
tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah. So this is a rematch then. So you got Easerbeat against Andreasen. Then you got, you know, again, guys like Quentin Ehrmans in there and probably the rest of the Belgians, Dan Soda.
And Logan Owen.
Logan Owen's up there. So first off, who do you think's going to win this one?
You know, he's got to be looking at it like he has the best chance out of anyone. That's Eli. But Worlds is a different ball game for under 23. It's not a gimme at all. I mean, Anderson didn't race very much before last year's Worlds, and he was, you know, kind of just doing it off of mountain bike season, which I think he's going to do again, obviously, considering that he will start. But it's the quintessential Belgian tag team kind of a course. If they have any kind of cohesion at all, then it's Eli's race to lose. Quentin Ehrmans, he's the Fedea guy,
right.
if I'm remembering correctly.
Yep. Yeah, he's won a couple of those races.
Yeah, super nice guy. I don't think he's the quickest guy. I remember him being kind of better technically in the deeper mud.
Right.
So I think that Eli has shown to just have that really quick kind of speed, and that seems like kind of right up his alley.
What are you looking for from, well, your guy Curtis White, but also Logan Owen and Tobin Nortenblad?
So, you know, Tobin had really impressed me with how he went into nationals. You know, what his approach was. He was always the kid that would annoy the shit out of us because he was really fast at the starts, really strong, but he didn't have the staying power to make him a factor in the finish of the races, and I'm talking domestically.
Sure.
But that was when he was younger. You know, he's really changed how he was approaching his racing. You know, last year under 23, he's got a great chance of using his maturity and putting it all together to have a great race. So I think that this kind of course is really good for him, because you're either full gas, big power, or you're basically scared of crashing. It never looks as hard as it actually is on TV. So when you see guys kind of drop down into these off camber descents, and there are the two before you get to the finish line, it's scary shit. I mean, you are absolutely on the edge of ending up into the fence, or, you know, hitting the deck on the way down. So that's great for Tobin. He's really good on a bike. He's got a lot of great handling skills. Logan has a lot of those same skills, plus he has a little bit more speed and a little bit more power. It's just a question of whether or not he shows up at the start line with all of the things that he needs, or most of the things that he needs, because you can't fake it at Worlds.
And Curtis?
Curtis, you know, he's another one of these guys that I think doesn't get quite the credit for being full-time in school. Going into the list of people that have made multiple trips overseas, you know, you hear about the people who are, you know, fundraising for trips or trying to find the way to get over there. Curtis has had a lot of he's had a lot of tough times. I mean, he's full time in school for the second year, and he's doing a great job at racing his bike and going to school. So from a personal side, I'd be psyched if he gets through that thing with a top 15. But I know that he's not happy with that. Watching him come across the line at Asheville.
Oh, certainly.
He looked like, you know, somebody stole his puppy, you know, took a poop on his birthday cake and, you know, stole his first car, like everything all at once, how unhappy he looked. So if he has a good start, which he hasn't had every time, he's had a couple really good ones. If you can pull a special start like that, then I think he's got a great chance of rolling for that top 10.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Did we cover all? Well, we got the junior men.
Juniors, man. Don't forget junior the juniors.
We've, yeah.
You know, people always talk about how the, you know, the American team is doing and how, you know, our development process is going with USA Cycling. We have always had good juniors, and that thankfully has not changed. I mean, Gage Hecht is, he's a badass. He's a big, strong kid who's got a ton of power to play with. So he's got every shot of going for that jersey.
Absolutely.
And that would just be such a huge thing to have. Spencer's quick, man. I like to watch him. I like his style. I like the way that he's letting it loose out there. So I think, you know, for the amount of years that we've shown up and have had one or two good riders in the junior category, it's been pretty rare that we've had two or three to go top 10. But I think that's the year. Sorry, I think this is the year that we have a great chance of having three in the top 10.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Gage Hecht, especially, you know, after his experience last year with really in it the whole time, and even last week where, you know, he said if but for a couple little mistakes, you know, he's up there on the podium or better. So yeah, that's going to be an exciting race to watch.
It's really hard to put that point across enough that if you make one mistake, you're basically done for at these races. And they're so competitive that if you do a local race and you dab in a corner because you kind of slip out for a second, it's no big deal. You know, you can probably catch back up to the group you're with or to the rider that you're behind. At these races, you are literally sprinting out of every single corner. You're trying to late break whoever's near you into the corner. You're hanging it out there. So mistakes are really, they're pretty common and they're really costly. So, you know, if these guys can have a clean race and kind of put that knowledge to good use, then they've got a great chance to win just like anyone else.
So what's going to be the highlight of the barn party?
well, not falling down. I think last year you know, we had a little bit of an issue with the amount of people up there. this year we tried to keep it on the low side, but I'm expecting quite a few to show up on Sunday. So, you know, I think good coffee. This year we rented a porta potty, which is key. that's going to go into the bottom of the barn. So we will have a somewhat heated porta potty, really to all people's benefits. And my dogs will have muzzles on them, so we're looking forward to it.
Now you live and learn on the on these types of things.
I'd like to thank in advance Best Buy for letting me buy an HD projector and return it on Monday. it's like our Super Bowl. You know, everybody does it for that. We might as well do it for this.
And they're not and they're not expecting it. They won't question it on
yeah. Christmas. Like, what are you doing this for? What? That's weird. Isn't the Super Bowl next weekend?
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Don't worry, guys. We're all good.
Awesome. All right, excellent. Tim. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Well, I know it's getting near your bedtime, so.
It's a little different not getting ready to race over there, believe me.
Yeah.
I will be thinking of my fellow Americans over there. You know, I had a chance to race Worlds on the road and cross in the same year, and that makes Older a pretty special place in my life.
That's awesome. Yeah, we were just talking about that before, so that's pretty cool that you did both there.
Yeah, that is cool.
All right, Tim, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Tim.
Bye.
See you guys.
I think Tim raised a lot of really valid points there that you've got to think about the pack racing dynamics, which is something that we did see during the World Cup race there in December.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if we see like what we saw this past week where you've just got, you know, Vanderpool just takes off and he's on his own, or if we've got a, you know, a group of, you know, 5-10 guys or more racing together, or women depending on the field. So I think that'll be interesting to see.
Cool. All right, Elliot, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right,
awesome.
Hey, Elliot. Elliot.
Sorry. Hello. I couldn't figure out how to merge phone calls. My Skype capability is not great. So
Tim said hi though.
Yeah, Tim says
hi. Hi Tim, I'm gonna see him. He's doing this Ride on Atlanta thing, so I'm gonna see him in like a month or two down here.
Awesome.
Very cool. Georgia.
I want to know if he's going to go with the Bulls porter pot.
Hey, but you know that's he's got to be careful. The Ride on Atlanta. I mean, the last time they had a bunch of Yankees invade Atlanta like that, there was nothing left.
I'm pretty sure he's going to be one of the only Yankees. I think it's actually mainly other Southern bike advocate type folks that will be on the ride with him, I think.
All right.
Fair enough. What's the weather like down there now?
But you're right. I will remind him of that when I email him tomorrow.
Don't ask Elliot what the weather's like. When I was talking to him a week or two before, when it was that very cold week here in DC, he was telling me that it was really cold in Athens, that it was 39. This was when it was like high of 19 here.
Yeah. Well, you know. What are you wearing to ride in, Elliot? That's what I want to know.
Did you just ask him what he's wearing?
I am. Yes. Now. I saw him on the video last time.
Yeah.
The last 3 days I was wearing arm warmers, knee warmers, and that like a vest. A hat, like a winter hat, gloves. That's been like the low 50s.
That's for okay. You should have stopped before that. Very cool. All right.
Perfect.
You guys keep talking about Worlds, and I'm going to bring on our next guest to join this conversation.
Perfect.
By the way, for people listening, I'm not editing this, but so much. So you get to hear all how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
So what I found really interesting
there's
from
another
Tim,
guest.
Oh, just wait.
It's okay. This time he's coming in on phone, so we shouldn't have any kind of interference.
Yeah.
So Tim made it sound like this is going to be a different course. That they're switching around a little bit, at least. Or at least they switched around for the World Cup.
They did. They made some changes for the World Cup from years past.
So maybe that means that they are going to keep playing with it. That maybe it won't be the exact same course. Who knows? If anyone that is listening to us does know the real answer to this.
Yeah, tweet at us.
Yeah. Right now.
Yeah. Tell us.
I don't think they can hear us right now. You know, we were going to do that.
They can tweet us while they're listening it.
Yeah, I know. Whenever you hear this, that's going to be right
now. Let us know. Correct us.
Oh, you're right. Wow, time shifting.
But no, that,
hashtag
that's
science.
I don't know. I think that a lot of the names that Tim threw out there are some of the same that I have on in my notes here, but I've also got some different names down, so we'll see.
All right, well,
but no one wanted to tell Tim he was wrong.
I respect that Tim has a much more nuanced opinion of this than I do.
I do believe he had a little background in there that justified some of his answers pretty well. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I liked one of the things that you threw out there, Kevin, which was not who will win per se or who will be on the podium per se, but in the elite men's race, who will be the first non-
Hey, Dan. You're
Belgian
jumping
or Dutch.
You're jumping right in.
Hey, Dan, you're interrupting me. Hi.
How many people am I talking to?
All right, let's see. So in the basement, we got Taylor Jones.
Hi, Dan.
And then
hi, Taylor.
And then Kevin Hayes.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, how's Philadelphia so far?
And then on Skype.
Philly's great.
And then Skype is Elliot Caldwell. Are you still there, Elliot?
Hello.
Okay, good. Everybody's here. Outstanding.
Sweet.
And we just
Had
yeah,
Tim.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, no, we just had Tim Johnson on, and he told us a lot of stuff about who was going to do well, and now we're bringing you on to the just hang out in the whole group discussion.
Sweet. You guys see the course preview video from Helen Wyman?
So it was only like 2 minutes long. There's a lot more course than
short
course.
There's a full lap. If you go to the Stages Cycling Vimeo account, there's a full 9 minute lap. Yeah.
So
that's what I'm watching right now.
Perfect.
Are you seeing anything different than the World Cup course in December?
Well, honestly, you know, it's really hard to watch these, like, point-of-view GoPro preview videos and then be able to, like, compare it to the, like, you know, the coverage. You know, this is something I always find, like, watching the preview videos of the Nationals course.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Asheville looked flat.
So
looked totally
flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, the only thing I'm sussing out of this is, like, not muddy right now, which could obviously change. There's one racing line through most of it. There's a shit ton of trees in the middle of the course, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Yeah, that, like, up into the off camber with the two distinct lines is still there. I think that was, like, one of the very first Venus videos,
It
right?
was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah that's a classic feature.
You have Helen Wyman's power numbers in the corner.
Oh yeah, that's for the 2 minute video. I mean, at those, it's like any typical cross race. It's like you're either not pedaling or you're going 500 watts.
Let's talk about some picks. We got Tim's in there, which we you know we can just take those
into consideration.
I think a lot of them were sort of the obvious ones, but he definitely had some good points. Where should we start? Who should we start with?
I want to start going back to what Taylor was saying right when we brought on Dan, because I think that's a really good spot to start.
Okay.
Yeah, so this was a question that Kevin raised, which was not, and specifically, I think, talking about the elite men's race.
The elite men's race,
not
yeah.
who's going to win, per se, or who's going to be on the podium, but who will be your first non-Dutch or Belgian finisher. And maybe they could be the winner. Maybe they could be on the podium.
This is true.
But who will be the first rider who's not from Holland or Belgium in the elite men's race?
That's a... All right. Well, Kevin, you brought it up. Your question, you get to start us off.
Okay. I'm going to go with Michael Boris. He's a Czech rider.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
He's been having a good season, consistently finishing top 20. And I think he finished 12th in Zolder for the World Cup. So I think he'll be up there.
This is an interesting one. In years past, I would have gone Walsleben, but
yeah,
he hasn't done anything.
He's been completely invisible this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going Julian Teremakar.
Okay.
That's a good pick. He's been up there.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards a French guy.
Oh, now we're talking. Now we should talk. Let's
I don't know,
talk about
I don't know,
this.
You know, I want to say Moret just because, like, you know, when that guy's on,
he's on.
Especially if it's sloppy,
win, you know, not just,
yeah,
he's not just, might not be, yeah, especially if it's sloppy, he's going to be up there. But, and forgive me for not knowing his name, but the Cofidis guy, the
Clement Venturini, I agree. I mean, that's my pick. He's going to be your first non-Dutch or Belgian rider. He was seventh at the World Cup in Zolder. And
ninth in the world.
Yeah. And like Matthew Vanderpoel came to the season late. So he's potentially got a little bit more fitness than some of the folks who've been racing since September.
What do you think, Elliot?
That was my pick too, but what's the weather? That was my pick too, but what's the weather report? Cause if it gets, you know, he got beat at the French Championships by Moray when it was, you know, 2 feet of mud.
Yeah,
so if
he
it's
also
supposed
got
to be super muddy.
True.
I would pick Moray, but if it's not, I would go Venturini.
Yeah.
Well, intel
also,
from
I'm waffling.
He also got tag teamed at the French National Championship it wasn't just, I mean, yeah, Moray ended up winning, but I mean, you also had the team tactics of Steve Chanel and you know, those guys just attacking consistently at the front. So we'll see. I agree. I mean, if it's muddy, I think Moray is probably a better pick.
Moray actually 14th in the world. I guess it's because he just hung out in Switzerland all year and got his points there. Because
yeah,
we really didn't see him in any of those Belgian races. So now that we know that, should we? Anybody have any dark horse picks? I mean, it seems like the status quo is that Vanderpoel is just gonna run away with this thing. Anybody see him not winning? Anybody with Vanderpoel not as their choice?
We can go with a dark horse pick if there's a mechanical or something just happens to Vanderpoel.
Okay, on that, I like that topic. If you're Wout van Aert,
yeah,
and you potentially lost Worlds last year because of a mechanical, why would you tweet that you're racing brand new tires have never been used?
He did not tweet that.
Whoever said it.
It was just in an article in the Newhouse, the Dugast guy. I mean, the whole, it was funny because it was a Belgian article saying, look at all these Belgians using Dutch technology. You know, and but the people who were interested were Sven, Powels, and Wout for these tubulars. But who knows? And then there was just a beautiful
tubeless tubulars. What?
Yep, they are tubulars without an inner tube in there.
Are these like Clements?
So like Tufos?
Yeah, except they're not made out of plastic. They're cotton casings, and evidently very rough to ride on because this was the takeaway quote from the Dugast guy. We only gave them to the elite men because they were the only ones capable of handling them.
All right. Wow.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was interesting that, you know, it was thrown out there that a guy who, you know, last year had a mechanical send him awry might ride something new at Worlds. I don't know. I mean,
I will bet he doesn't.
Yeah,
that would be my guess.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those guys, you know, it's like they get paid to ride whatever they get paid to ride, but then,
you know,
when it comes down to it, they're going to use the thing that they want.
Right, and Vanderpoel used brand new tires that he had never used for Worlds last year and seemed to work out okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, dark horses.
I'll throw out there just because, and I mentioned it with Tim as well, that the course sets up really well for Lars van der Haar. And if he is on his game, he's the guy, and something, you know, Vanderpoel, something happens, he's the guy that's proven he can win at Zolder.
Mm-hmm. So what happens when Svek goes up the road like he always does, van der Haar chases him, and then everybody else sits up?
Moose and goes for it.
You know, it's you know what's interesting is that just how nuts Vanderpoel is going right now is that van der Haar had an 18-second lead and really didn't screw anything up. 18-second lead in the Dutch National Championship, and Vanderpoel was able to track him down and win.
It's kind of hard to argue against that, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's always tough to also really, you know, suss out what the team dynamics, if any, are when it comes to world champs. I mean, certainly reading what Sven has been saying, it doesn't sound like he's too enthusiastic to work for anybody else unless it's really like do or die.
Right, right. Well, it's also, it's, you know, none of his guys are going to be in contention. So why even, right. why even bother?
That's true. That's true.
You know, Mason's his best chance and we'll see.
Yeah. I think it would be interesting to see what Lars Boehm does. I mean, I think it's pretty out
you,
there. That
do you
he
think
was
he's in any
chosen.
Better shape than he was a couple of weeks ago?
I mean, he raced the Tour Down Under.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything, but certainly got a lot of training in.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, he's done well at that.
It's a power. I mean, this is a course that Stibar's always done it well at too. So it's something that those kind of skills and that kind of power definitely pays off on that course.
I don't know. Seeing him in those races earlier in the season kind of tells me that, he's out there to have a good time, but it's hard for me to imagine him making such a significant improvement to be legitimately competitive, particularly because he's not going to have an easy start, you know? So it's like he's starting from behind, and it's like he just wasn't riding that well.
I agree.
So who do y'all think is going to be the top American out there? I know we're not supposed to root for the top or talk about the top American, but
Jeremy Powers.
Yeah, I think. I mean,
yeah, I'll go with Powers too.
I think that I have a feeling that Powers. Well, I mean, I know he is frustrated with his European stint so far. So I say he puts it together, finishes. Top 15.
And, you know, I'd really like to see Hyde kill it, but rewatching Zolder, I think one of the reasons he got such into good position that he did was there was a crash around, like, the second or third corner, and I think he was just able to get around that crash and get up in that front group and kind of put him in position. So I think that was pretty lucky that he was able to get up there when he did. So I think Powers is going to take it.
Yeah. Anybody else? Or should we move on to the elite women?
Yeah, let's talk about the women.
All right. Elliot.
Yeah, it's going to be a much more interesting race.
Start us off with the elite women.
So, I mean, my impression is that Katarina Nash is racing, and she's my pick if she is. I'd rather see Compton or Mani win, but I think if Nash is in the race, I think she's winning it. I looked at her Instagram feed, and like a day ago she was skiing. So I'm not. I
haven't heard anything about her racing the race. I don't know.
Is she on the start list? I know Kevin, you just sent something out, but I couldn't look at it yet.
She is not.
No, she's not.
Oh, then my pick is Kant. I would pick Nash over. I think. Although I'd prefer if Mani or Compton won it, but I think Kant without Nash there, I think Kant's going to win it.
I mean it's a tough one to go against. The only, you know, something that Tim was talking about earlier is where she's at fitness wise. You know, especially had a little bit of an injury, rib injury about a month or so ago, and then seems like the rest of the field has started to catch her. But yeah, I mean she's my pick as well. I mean, I don't think you can really bet against Khan, especially with, you know, Voss and Ferran Prevot not racing and Nash not racing.
And I don't think this is a strong course for Lechner or Nikki Harris or some of the other folks that have had good races the last sort of few World Cups. I think this is not a great race for them, but I think this actually sets up pretty well for Kant. So I don't know. I would like to see her win it at least once, so maybe this is her year.
Yeah. What do you think, Dan?
I mean, I think she went out this weekend and did just enough to secure the overall, and she wasn't really trying to win that race, so I think she's going to come out swinging this weekend. And I don't know, I can't really see anybody beating Anna Kant unless something goes really wrong.
Yeah, I mean I think that's that's definitely it. It's sort of funny. It's like these storylines have been set from the beginning, and it's sort of tough to argue anything different. Who would you like to see win, Taylor?
Yeah, I was gonna say I will step up and be the contrarian.
Yeah,
because
okay.
That's, you know, that's what I do. I think Caroline Mania has had a really fantastic season, and I would like to see her win. I think that, you know, that would really be the icing on the cake of a season that's been fantastic for her. You know, the past month or so in Europe, she's had some really good results. You know, the first part of the season, she was racing in the U.S., which you could say it did a pretty good job preparing her to race in Europe. I mean, based on what she's been doing lately.
Look, so. I mean, not to compare it to the men's field, but she's racing against Katie Compton, who finished second. She's racing against Kei Antno, who has had, you know, podium finish in a World Cup. So it's not like she's not racing against World Cup contenders when she's racing in the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, I think that she will do well. I mean, I think that she'll certainly be in the top five, assuming that everything goes well and she doesn't have any issues. But I would like to see her win. I think Nikki Harris could have a good day as well. I mean, she's obviously got some good form right now. I mean, I think those would be the two picks that I would like to see win. I mean, I think for sure Sana Khan is probably your top pick. But, you know, who knows? You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, personally, I like to see Lecter take it. She's always up there in these World Cups. I mean, in the World Championships. It always seems like she's flirting with the podium no matter what. But when it comes down to it, you can't bet against Khan.
Oh. See, I wondered, Dan, I wondered if Dan even realized he was making a joke when you said you can't see anyone beating Khan.
Can't bet against Khan.
Exactly.
I did not realize that joke until someone else made that. But.
Those are the best jokes. And those are the best jokes.
And or the worst, and probably for the best.
I'd like to see Sana van Paasen do really well. I think this is her last race ever for cyclocross, so it'd be kind of cool to see her get like a top 10 or top 5 if she has a really, really good ride. I don't know if she has that in her, but she won Cross Vegas at one point, so she was kind of, you know, she was a pretty big deal for a couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that'd be cool.
I'll throw out a wild card for the women's race. I think Thalita de Jong could have a good ride. I mean, she's had a really breakout season this year, especially the past month. So, I mean, I think that's a name to toss out there.
Yeah, she's one. From the Dutch side. She's young, too, right? I mean,
yeah, she's 22.
She's racing age 23.
Yeah.
So, age 23, does that mean she's doing the U23 race or
the elite race?
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, I think otherwise she would be the runaway choice for the U23 race. But, yeah, she's registered or on the start list. Or the entry list for the elite women.
So I find really interesting, nobody mentioned Compton as their pick. Do we think Compton's done for now? I mean,
I don't think it's after watching her race the last 2 weeks, she hasn't really instilled a lot of confidence.
No, I agree, yeah.
You know, I agree that it's especially coming off of nationals and getting a second place, was it Nemours? Where did she get second? Well, second place in a World Cup right after Nationals. It was like, oh, here it is. You know, she said that she was going to be peaking for the end of the season. This is going, you know, right to plan. And then just nosedive those last two races where she was pretty much soft pedaling, feeling sick the first week, and then just didn't have anything this past weekend.
Here's the thing with Compton is that she's not somebody that necessarily needs to race into form. You know, like, she's somebody that can have a couple of bad races and then just come out and win nationals.
Yeah.
You know, she can have this, like, slow build to the season and then come out and just start winning races. So, I mean, I don't want to write her off entirely, but I think, for me, the reason why I don't want to pick her is because I don't think she's had a very good track record with the World Championships just in general.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there was.
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't know what it is. You know, it's like no, I don't mean to take anything away from her. She's, you know, an incredibly talented and an extremely dominant rider. You know, but I feel like for some people, there's this thing with the world championships where they just can't seem to put it together for that one race.
I always think about.
Makes any sense?
Yeah, no, I always think about Coxsider with her, and she came in that year and just about won everything in the World Cup, and it was just hard to watch, you know.
But I mean, Dan, I think Dan's right, because I mean that was Sven for so many years too, right? I mean,
yeah,
just dominant,
yeah,
the entire
absolutely.
Season, and then you show up to Worlds and just couldn't put all the pieces together.
Yeah,
so
I think she had so much pressure all those other years. Maybe this year they're just like we're doing here. There isn't, you know, as much pressure on her, and it really set, you know, if you look at the numbers, it sets up well for her. You know, Voss isn't there. Ferran Prevot isn't there. Kant may not be at her best. It certainly is. If she's going to do it, this certainly is a good year.
I mean, a bunch of things have to line up. I think it's got to, again, it would help if it's a little bit muddier and the track is slower. I think if someone younger goes off really early and tries to kind of walk away with it based purely on fitness, I think it's a problem for her because she doesn't start well. But I think if there's a little bit of, it also depends on team tactics. If there are people playing some team tactics and she can kind of stay with a group and stay near the front without having to exert herself in that first sort of lap or two, I think it'll play well to her. But I think if someone just tries to like walk away with it, like who just won the last World Cup, just kind of walking away in the first lap. If it's a race like
Sophie
that,
DeBoer.
There's no way.
Yeah,
it's like Sophie DeBoer, that last World Cup, no way. But I think if there's a way she can stay in and not get too far behind, she can work her way. She can sort of, you know, take little bits every lap and work her way to the front.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, do we want to talk a little bit about the U23 women's race?
Yep. Let's do it.
This one's going to be hard to call. I mean, let's be honest. This is the first time we've actually gotten to see any of these women race together.
Right.
Live in a field like this. So
remember this name, Maud. It's the best cyclocross name ever. Maud.
She's
I can't pronounce
it.
The last name, but she's Dutch. She's going to win.
She has a good chance. That's a good pick. Yeah.
A good pick. I like that.
I mean, I was definitely going to say that it is going to be really interesting to watch this race just because a lot of times when the race dynamic changes so much, as in a lot of the people that are faster are removed from the race, you know, and it's like it's easy to kind of look at the results and look at the first, you know, the first U23 rider, whatever, and kind of gravitate towards those people. But it's like when you take out all the people in between and you match up those riders by themselves, it becomes really hard to predict because a lot of times those faster people are influencing the race so much that it becomes a totally different game when you're riding from the front rather than chasing the next group in front of you.
Yeah, that what you're saying really confirms what Tim was saying earlier, that benefits a rider like Noble, who, you know, was racing at the front of like the Verge series the whole time, was able to sort of learn race tactics in a fast field that maybe some of the European U23 women haven't had the opportunity to do.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Racing, you know, picking your own lines and staying calm on the front of a race is totally different than following the wheel, you know, and riding in a group and just trying to like survive and have that be a success in its own way. Yeah, I mean, just even dealing with the pressure of suddenly being put in a position where you're potentially the favorite to win is, you know, that's big. To me, this is probably the most interesting race of the weekend for sure.
So who do you got?
I want to say Noble, but part of that is I just, you know, she's the only one that I've really seen race really, because with the European races, most of the results I look at don't necessarily publish the person's age. So it's like hard for me to pick out exactly which women are even eligible for this category. And I want to say Noble also because the European courses tend to be a lot more technical, and she's very proficient at that.
Kevin, you haven't, I haven't forgotten about your pick, have I?
No, you haven't.
Okay.
I'm going with the with an Austrian, actually. Her name's Nada Hagel.
Yeah.
She ranked 12th at the Cross Country World Championships.
Local rider, NCVC, right?
Yeah, well, no, I don't actually get that joke. No, she's an Austrian rider, and okay, to rank 12th at that was U23 Women's World Championships. Those women at the cross country field is a fast field, so you know I think she could definitely take on the cross field here.
All right, Taylor,
that's a good pick, Kevin. I think I'm gonna go with the Fedea rider, the Belgian Femke Vandendriessche. I mean, I think, you know, maybe the course is not really that well suited to her, you know, to her style. I mean, but at the same time, I think that she has had maybe like the European, maybe not the same equivalent of what Ellen Obel's had, but I mean, definitely racing up towards the front in the European races, in the World Cups. So I think that that certainly has helped her, you know, to be ready for this. But I do really think that Dan's point is totally valid, that the dynamic is going to be really interesting and definitely changes a lot because, yeah, now maybe people who are the top favorites, if you pull them out of the elite races, they're in, you know, 12th, 15th, right, 20th place. So it's a totally different dynamic. That's true. And I agree. I think this will be probably the most interesting race of the weekend.
Yeah, and that was Femke was my pick as well. And, you know, as I think everybody else, I'd love to see Ellen take it.
Are you guys looking at the UCI cyclocross rankings by any chance?
Yeah, you know, we also found the entry list.
I just wanted to point out that
yeah,
the four of those riders are ranked 20th, 21st, yep, 22nd, and 23rd.
Yeah, and then...
I mean,
that's pretty awesome, right? They're all right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, Maud has about 50 points on Femke. But after that, it's literally like a 10, 20 point difference between her and Nadia. Sorry, I'm butchering these names, but.
We all are. It's fine.
Yeah.
No, and then I guess the only, if you're looking at the rankings, there's the, if we're ready for another butchering, Alice Maria Arzufi from Italy is 13th. So she's actually the highest ranked, I believe, in the field.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So, that's going to be interesting.
What do y'all think on the U23 men side?
U23 men, I think that is the one that, you know, as we sort of were fumbling through before, is one, it is a nice rematch of the junior world championship race from last year. So you had the heavy favorite Eli Easerbeet against the mountain biker who really came out of nowhere, didn't race, but so much cross, but, you know, was a world champion in mountain biking, Simon Andreasen. They're both at it again, and it's definitely a two different styles, you know. Two different, you got Eli Easerbeet is a little guy who's like super powerful, and then you got Andreasen who's just pretty much a monster. I mean, he's a full-grown man.
Definitely. I think that's going to be certainly an interesting dynamic at the front. I think you've got Quentin Hermans. I think he'll be up there as well. The other name that I want to throw out that I think that I personally would like to see do well and that I think will have a good ride is Clément Rousseau, who's the French U23 champ. He's had a pretty solid season. You know, a lot of top fives, top tens at all the World Cups. So I think he's another person to watch out for. And I mean, definitely he's definitely the future of cyclocross in France. So I think that's look for a good ride from him on the weekend.
Definitely. Elliot, what do you think? U23 men.
Yeah, I was going to say Hermans would probably be my my choice, even though I look a little bit more like Easerbeat.
this is true.
Yeah, it is true. The Czech rider Adam Tupalík has had some good results, some good top tens. So it'd be cool to see. You know, I know we've talked a lot about sort of non-Belgian, non-Dutch riders, who's going to be the top. It would be kind of cool to see in this category, because I think in a lot of the World Cups, it's been like a Belgian, you know, Belgian and Dutch sweep pretty much, not all season, but a lot of the season. So I'd like to see a Czech rider do well, and I think he's been top six, top seven, top eight. So yeah, Adam Tupalík from the Czech Republic would be my dark horse.
And he's a former, I believe, junior world champion.
Oh, so he's not a dark horse then.
I mean, I think that's a pretty solid pick.
But if you want to go non-Dutch, non-Belgian, a guy who's been up there a lot is Giola Bertolini from Italy.
Yeah. He's smashed it in the EKZ Tour this year, yeah. So yeah, he would be a good pick as well.
Dan, got any thoughts on this one?
Honestly, I don't really follow the U23 men for whatever reason. Outside of like our U.S. contenders, you know, it'd be cool to see Logan Owen on the podium. I don't think.
Did you race against Logan much this year? He didn't.
No, I didn't do. I don't. Was he at Providence?
I want to say he wasn't, because he was still that was no he definitely wasn't, because he was at Road Worlds.
Yeah, he was at Road Worlds.
Right. Yeah. So no, I didn't race against Logan at all this year.
How about Tobin?
But I remember the first year he started doing the elite races, and it was just like, you know, you get 5 minutes into the race and then you get passed by somebody going twice your speed, and you're like, okay, cool, there goes that guy. You know, and it's funny because whenever people move up to the elite category, I feel like my first instinct is to just dismiss them, because it, you know, more often than not, people move up to the elites and it goes nowhere. And this is totally, like, I've seen it happen to people that have had good results going into, you know, pre-moving up into the elites, and they just can't manage to put it together in the elites for whatever reason. So when it's like, when you see somebody come from the back of the field and get into the top 10 in an elite race, you're just like, oh, okay, this kid's going to be the real deal.
Yeah.
Not that he wasn't already, considering like the 8 national titles he had, but
yeah, he was not a stranger to crossing the line first.
No, not at all. So yeah, I mean, I'd like to see him on the podium.
Yeah. Well, you know, what was interesting with him, his best performance in a World Cup at U23 was last week, and it was 8th, which, you know, I guess from being, since he was always up there and on the podiums as a junior, you just almost expected him to be even farther up. So that'll be an interesting one.
Was he racing many World Cups prior to this, or was this? I mean, I feel like he hasn't been ever racing the World Cups much. Maybe I'm wrong with this, but
like in years past, I thought as a junior he went over more, but then once he moved to the road, it seems like his trips to Europe, especially for cross, have not been as much. And he's, you know, he's even, you know, look at his Instagram feed and it's all, you know, his road team, every picture. Mm-hmm. Now he's just sort of hopping back onto his cross bike for Worlds.
He kind of, like, I really wish that he could give it more than that, you know, because it definitely, he's so talented on a cross bike. I mean, he's extremely talented on the road bike, and like, it makes sense why he's pursuing that, but because like, it's much easier to make a living as a professional road racer than a professional cross racer.
Yeah, especially after like tour of Utah last year. I mean, he's sort of shown that he has a chance to, you know, at least be considered for a world tour team at some point.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's most definitely the track he's on at this point. You know, the only reason I would guess he's not on a World Tour team isn't because there weren't offers. It's probably because there's a plan in mind, and it doesn't involve signing to a World Tour team until he's a little bit older.
Yeah. All right. Who hasn't given a pick yet? Have you, Kevin?
I don't think I have. I was actually going to go Quinn Hermans too. I think after his performance last week, he was pretty darn strong.
He's definitely been up there. Did he win the World Cup? All right. Well, I'm saying, I don't know. I was going with my first to the battle between Andreasen and Easier Beat, and I'm gonna say Easier Beat gets it this time and gets his win. That's gonna be my pick. Who do we have left?
Junior Man.
All right. Who wants to start out?
Gage Hack.
All right.
I honestly forgot that there's a junior men's race.
It's definitely.
I don't know why. We just talked about it 2 seconds ago, but I just opened Facebook and was like ready to switch on.
Okay, Dan's out.
Because I was like, all right, we talked about the U23 women, we talked about the U23 men. There can't be like another race we need to talk about, but no, of course there's more men's races.
No, we still haven't. Someday maybe there'll even be a junior women's race, but.
Kevin, all right, Kevin, you want to elaborate on that?
Gage Hecht is going to win?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Gage Hecht. After seeing that guy at USA Nats, I mean, he's a big guy. He's a big junior. I mean, I just feel like, not to put this oddly, but he's a very well-developed younger guy, I guess. So I feel like he just maybe he's growing faster than the rest of the other juniors. So, you know, I think he just has that power. Did that come out weird?
No, not at all.
I mean, just a little, but that's okay.
All right, so Kevin likes the way the Gage Hecht is developing. And
he's a big guy.
Okay, Taylor, which J name are you going to put up there at the top?
Yeah, exactly. It's been a battle of two... basically two riders most of the season in Europe at the World Cups. So I'm going to go with the Dutch rider, Jens Dekker. I think that it's either going to be him or it's going to be the Belgian Jaspers. I mean, I really think it will. I mean, it's going to be the two of them have been battling all season long at the front, and they've got, you look at the results and there's a pretty solid gap between the two of them back to whoever's standing on the third step. So, I mean, I would almost say you flip a coin, but yeah. I think Jens Dekker, he's had a little bit stronger results the past few weeks, and he did better at the World Cup when they had it in Zolder in December.
On just name alone, do you think Jens Dekker could put on some ice skates and be like an Olympic level speed skater?
I mean, I don't know his life story, but
he may already be.
He probably was. I mean, right?
Yeah,
he was probably like a junior national speed skating champion or something.
Exactly. All right, Elliot, U20. Junior man.
Yeah, I was gonna go Jaspers. There's a bunch of French riders too. There's a number of them, and I know juniors aren't known for their you know team tactics, but you never know. So I would go Jaspers with maybe some of those French riders that did well last week. Maybe they could work together. I think one's last name, the guy that won, Bonnet, I think he looked pretty strong when I saw the highlights of that race. So perhaps he could pull something off. But yeah, I would love to see Hecht on the podium.
You know, it's an interesting point too with all of the French juniors because, you know, I pointed out when the French team was announced that you have one French woman, elite woman going, and you have two elite French men. Three?
I think three.
Okay. I thought it was just Ventrini, Murray. Is there another one?
I thought Chanel was going.
Chanel, you're right. It is three. Okay. Yeah.
But they're not filling out their allocation for anything except junior men.
Except the juniors, which is, you know, it does. That's not a bad thing. If those are the riders they feel who are capable in the...
But, you know, you had the same... I mean, you even had, like, John Gaudre was saying, like, I'll pay to go myself. Like, I'll pay my own way. But they only wanted to send three elite men. He was not happy.
It does seem like... Because Gaudre did well. It does seem like it's a better argument. I know that... I don't want to upset anybody, but, you know, in Ireland, they were upset that they're not sending anybody. But you look at those riders and like the highest ranked rider is 200th or something in the world. I don't know. Yeah. I was sort of going on the Steph Wyman declaration that Worlds isn't a development program.
But so. I mean, if you have you have a guy who's finished third overall in the Giro.
That's what I'm saying.
That was a legitimate pro.
That's my argument that maybe France should be sending him if they have spot.
For
and,
sure.
You know, and he, you know, the travel isn't too bad cost wise.
No, I would not imagine. But I mean, I think Elliot's point is valid. I think if you were to, in my mind, I think if you were to pick a guy out of that group, it would probably be Tanguy Turgis.
Turgis looks strong too.
I think he's, I mean, if they're going to anoint a team leader, I mean, I think he would probably be their leader. So that's a good pick for the podium for sure.
Yeah. All right. So, Dan, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for joining us on
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Anytime.
I want more videos.
Thanks for reminding me that there's a junior men's race.
Oh, absolutely. And if we do get our live alt broadcast up and running, expect an early morning phone call Saturday, Sunday, possibly both.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, more.
I'm gonna be watching.
Yeah. Good. More. Hey. More videos of dogs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Dan. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good night, guys.
Thanks, man. Bye.
Thanks, Dan.
So that was a lot of names we were just talking and butchering. And...
I think it's gonna be a good weekend.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think even if you have. The takeaway for me in the run-up to the weekend is even if you have the really obvious names win, I think they're all, you know, they've all earned it. I mean, I don't think it's anyone that we've watched race throughout the course of the season that you would say, you know what, they don't deserve to win. So even if it is, I mean, even if you have like a repeat of Hoogerheide, and Vanderpool just rides away with it. I mean, he's shown that he's capable of doing that. So, I mean, I don't know that anybody would be disappointed if he repeated.
I mean, we'd all be a little disappointed if we didn't get, like, you know, a little bit of a race out of it, you know. But, no, he definitely deserves it.
I would love to see Sven go out on a win.
Yeah, agreed.
And mainly so I can just stop doing these videos.
So to get him there,
I want to see Powell's take a win.
You know, I think Powell's would have been a good pick. I just don't know if he's healthy. And he's had a lot of back issues. Yeah. That
it's not a course that if your back's hurting you.
Yeah.
Does Sven ride his canties this weekend or this to close it out? Because he was riding canties last weekend. So
I mean, yeah.
He might want to just go back to his old routine just to really give up. I mean, what's he got to lose now?
I have a number of fucks behind my back right now between 0 and 10.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know the difference. One's lighter, one stops better. It seems like if you wanted to like not run into those
the bouncy castle
barriers, maybe use the discs. I don't know.
It'd be cool to see him just lead, you know, I don't know, take a flyer, lead a lap. I mean, just, you know, even if he's not going to win, it'd be cool to see him out front, you know, with the crowd, hopefully, obviously, a home crowd getting into it. That would be cool. Even if he doesn't end the podium, it'd be nice to have that one shining final moment.
Yeah, and don't you think that also with the disc versus canty thing, it's not really a versus. It's they've, at least in their own strategy, they've figured out what they think is better for one condition versus another condition, and they're doing, I don't think at this point they're like, this one isn't working well, let me switch to the other one.
Yeah. I think it's more like tires now in some ways.
It's always seemed like he was a little reluctant to switch. I mean, so I think he's personally always been more comfortable on them, so maybe when it comes down to it, if he like...
Powell's now moved over more to disc than not?
Yep.
Which was an interesting one. Yeah. So to finish off, should we talk some music?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Sure.
All right.
Hey, Elliot, have you seen any shows since you've been down in Athens?
I went and saw, I've seen a couple shows, but I was sort of on a tight schedule, so I got to see sort of some friends' bands, but I didn't necessarily stay for the whole thing. So I don't necessarily have a big report back. But yeah, I've seen a couple, and I'm going to go see some stuff this weekend. So this weekend's actually the big... David Lowery every year at the 40 Watt does a big sort of cracker camper van Beethoven weekend.
Oh, Bill, nice.
You'd be really excited about
it. Yes, absolutely.
So it's cracker acoustic Thursday night, camper van Beethoven playing what's it called? Beloved Revolutionary Sweetheart.
In oh, its wow.
And then,
nice.
And then Saturday night is Cracker Electric. So it's, I might go to the camper night on Friday.
That'll be
so.
Fun. Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So just for people wondering why we've sort of switched gears
real quick,
sort of as our alter ego podcast, the Kids Don't Follow podcast, we sort of have moved some of our music over here at the end of these basement tape, episodes, and hopefully give you something new to put into your ears while maybe sitting on your trainer or wherever else you listen to music. So Taylor, what do you got?
What do I have?
Yeah.
So I have what I've been listening to a lot the past week. Actually, it's an album that just came out last week. It's a British band called Savages. And their new album came out, days ago. I think it was like last Friday. Now that it's so weird that release day is now Friday.
Oh, I know.
I still can't get used to it. But
yeah, I was listening to
really
these guys
good.
As well.
It's called,
yeah.
It's called Adore Life. They're on Sub Pop. It's really good. Kind of like, I don't know, post-punk, I guess you would call it.
What do you want to listen to?
I mean, I think the whole album is good, so I would say just choose one.
Right.
I forgot my glasses, so I can't see your monitor from over here anyway.
Okay, we're going to go with the answer.
That works.
And Elliot on the same little control here, so he's gonna come up and down with the music.
Oh, good.
I'll try not to yell.
No worries. But yeah, no, that's a good one. I would say check that album out. If they're new to you, it's good stuff.
Okay, where are we going next, Kevin?
Me.
Yeah.
Well. This past Friday, actually, I was supposed to see Those Darlings. They were doing their farewell tour and coming through D.C., but then it snowed.
They're awesome.
They are awesome. They're great. So they were playing Rock and Roll Hotel, and I didn't go because they didn't show up.
I was supposed to go to a show on Saturday, and it snowed and got canceled, too.
So no shows during the snow.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
Yeah, so I'm not going to go with them because of that. So because of that, I'm actually going to go with another band called Hopalong that I've been listening to a whole bunch recently.
Oh, yes.
They're great.
We talked about them a lot on
the
podcast.
We did, and I'm quite obsessed with them right now. They're a Philly band, and this album's from 2015. It was Paint It Shut, and I really like the song Waitress.
Past
All right, Elliot, you're back.
I'm back. So one of the cool things that that David Lowry does when he does that weekend at the 40 Watt here in Athens, and drive-by truckers do this as well, they do a weekend, is they always get local bands to open. And, you know, a lot of people come in from out of town for these big shows. So it's kind of cool that a lot of out-of-towners get exposed to sort of local Athens bands. There's a woman who has toured, I think, with Cracker before, and she's toured with a lot of other bands up Montreal, Dead Confederate. But she's has her own solo sort of career. Her name's Thayer Serrano, and she's a sort of singer, songwriter, guitarist. She plays pedal steel. She plays keyboards. She's kind of one of those, like, she should be a household name by now, but, you know, isn't. And every record that she's on, or every band she tours with, that she's sort of playing on their stuff, she kind of shines through. She's almost, you know, she really sort of stands out. But she has a bunch of, she's had about four or five full lengths out. She had a new one out last year called Shaky, and she's very sort of shoegaze meets southern gothic, and very haunting, very sparse kind of music. But she's a great songwriter and a great musician. And again, I, you know, if there was any justice in the world, she'd be sort of like a household name in the sort of indie, no depression, you know, alt country slash pitchfork world. But yeah, Thayer Serrano, Shaky is the album.
Cool. All right. Any track in particular?
A Quiet State of Panic is a good track name, and it's also a really good song. So awesome. I'd go with that one.
All right, we'll do that. I haven't listened to that at all.
Yeah, she gets the she maybe gets the unfortunate comparison to Hope Sandoval a lot, and
sure.
I think
yeah,
there's some similarity, but she's actually, a lot of the stuff she plays is even twangier. That's a less twangy song. A lot of her songs have pedals, you know, more pedal steel, and are a little twangier.
Right.
That I think. But anyway, she's worth checking out.
Yeah. Okay. I started down this like new DC hardcore
rabbit hole. Yeah, it exists.
It's a deep one.
Yeah. And like Misled Youth. I mean, just these bands that, you know, I hadn't really heard of. Protester.
Oh yeah, they're good too.
Yep.
So there was one, Bleary Eyed, and this is Cherry Blossom.
We'll be right back.
technically probably more post-hardcore.
Yeah, but that's still good.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. That's one worth
checking
out, and probably will be playing around here soon.
Yeah, I'll throw out a plug for DC Band because I was Saturday was gonna go to see Sunwolf. They're from DC. They've a new album out, and it's supposed to be the record release show, but that was sadly canceled because we were in the midst of getting 2+ feet of snow.
Yeah.
Well. But yeah, I mean, if you are interested in checking out any other DC bands, they're called Sunwolf. It's good. It's like good garage rock, but they've got some other more melodic stuff out there as well.
Cool. All right. Anything else we need to do before we head on out?
I think I have one more plug I want to put in there.
Yeah.
For a little race we're going to be putting on in March, I want to start talking out now, get it in everyone's brains. It's the Crystal City Wednesday Night Spins. And it's a race that we're putting on here locally around D.C. and takes place in a parking garage.
Yes. And it for many who may have been skeptical last year when we did it for the first time, we ended the 4-week run selling out most, if not all, of the fields and having people demanding that we do it all year long, which we're not. We're only doing it every Wednesday in March, but it is a good time. It is safe. It is fun. And it's underground.
Yeah, there's no snow.
There's no snow.
It's not particularly warm, but once you get moving, you'll be warm.
Yeah. So if you're in the DC area, $15, you can find it on Bike Reg. And yeah, Crystal City Spins. Good one.
Yep.
I'm sad I'm missing it. I enjoyed it a lot last year. So
yeah, well, we're
I'll be there in spirit.
All right.
Yeah, sounds we got to find someone else to run the reg table now. I know. So, you know.
Very good.
Keep your phone open on Wednesday nights.
I will, just in case you need me to Skype it. I'll Skype in and do it if you need me to.
Yep. So. And, yeah, World Championships this weekend. We, again, are going to try. This is really, we're just going by the seat of our pants on this, but we're going to try to have an alt broadcast of commentary for you to listen along while you watch the video. We'll try to get more information about that out to you, most likely through my Twitter, which is at CXHairs, and then also on the Facebook pages for In the Crosshairs. And follow these guys on Twitter too. Where are you at? J Taylor Jones.
That is correct.
CX Shark.
That is correct.
EF_Caldwell.
That's it. Yep.
All right. Very good. Okay, guys. We'll see you
next
time.
Thanks, guys. Yep. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye. Thanks. See y'all.
Bye.
And there you have it. That's it. That's how it's all going to turn out for the Worlds. I'm sure we got everything 100% correct. Thanks for joining us. Again, if you've got any comments, hit me up at feedback@cxhairs.com. Follow along on Twitter @cxhairs. We've got a Facebook page, Instagram, all of it. Hope you enjoyed the World Championships, and we will talk to you next week.